Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.
Welcome to Commodity Week. I'm Todd Gleason. Later this half hour, we'll talk with Jackie Vakes of the Stewart Peterson Group. Our panelists today are Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, and Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Normal, Illinois.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Well, let's open today's discussion with this question. The trade seems convinced the bean crop is doing well, just as many were purporting it might in July, that the rains in the month of August would make that crop. Now, some are hedging on whether or not that's the case. Is this hedge simply a case of farmers in the worst areas looking out their back door and saying, hey, my beans aren't there? Things have got to be worse than what really people are saying across the floor in Chicago. Bill Mayer.
Well, I think that in my mind, bean crop, you can't deny the fact that the bean crop has gotten better over the last 2 weeks here. And with the rains that we've had, it's improved. How much it's improved, I don't know. But I doubt that you've got a record-type yield out there. I believe that first part of August where we had the heat, it really kind of hurt us. And I think it had to do some damage. So I don't think we have a record crop, but I think we've got an average crop or a little bit below that, and we can't deny the fact that it's better than it was at the beginning of the month.
Chuck Shelby?
We still have several weeks to go here that can make or break the bean crop still. As Bill said, certainly the rains always do help, but it's very variable out there. Not everybody's getting the same amount of rain.
And Dan Zwicker?
Well, a crop has been made, and once we get to the point in a growing season, once the crop has been made, the air goes out of the balloon, and that's kind of where we're at. Now, over the next 30 days or so, we're going to sort it out, what size the crop is, what kind of demand we actually have underneath the market. So we're kind of in that transition phase, I think, in the marketplace that usually happens in this time frame, anywhere after the August crop report into middle part of September is when we kind of go through that transition of realizing that, yes, a crop is here. Now we'll argue about or we'll sort out the actual size of that crop.
From Chicago this week, September soybeans had a high of $6.39, the low at $5.95. September, by the way, taking the lead option this week in Chicago. They're up front now at $5.97.25 on the settlement price. They finished 45.25 cents lower from last week. And the November beans finished down 40.5 cents, and they settled at $6.07.5. Dan, I'd like to stay with you just for a minute and have you lay out the technical picture for the bean market, what it looks like in the charts, and how this week plays into the longer-term vision.
Well, there's nothing that you could really hang your hat on that there's a reason to think that the beans are bottoming, at least, after the big decline. We are terribly oversold after the decline we've had here. Basically, the decline in the bean market has kind of taken place since mid-June. We felt a lot of the biggest decline here, or we've really begun to notice it here the last couple of weeks. The lead option soybeans did go down underneath the $6 area, and a lot of times that's a psychological point, go down there, blow out the rest of the stops. We'll have to kind of see what open interest did here probably early next week, what it did here on Friday. But this is a place for it to, I think, kind of stop and consolidate a little bit. I've got some cyclical work that kind of indicates that we're probably at a point where we could stabilize. But the overall chart picture at this point, basically, is generally bearish at this point.
Yeah, bearish. So bearish to how low?
Well, I don't know if I want to give you any points. I mean, I think other than we're at the $6 level, and beans have a tendency to kind of move in 50-cent increments. So this is a spot here to kind of hold. We're seeing some give up. The corn market had the give up earlier in the week. And see, corn has tried to kind of stabilize where beans were not quite at the give up. I think we saw some of that give up here today, on Friday.
After last week's Friday report, I spoke to Darrell Good about the marketplace just a bit, and I talked to him again Friday morning of this week. And while his view on the marketplace for beans hasn't changed a lot, last week he was willing to wait for the September USDA report before he actually got fairly aggressive on making final soybean sales or some more soybean sales. This week, he's more inclined to think about making those sales. Would you be in the same boat before the September report comes out?
Yeah, I think you've got to take advantage. If you're talking about old crop soybeans, making final old crop sales.
No, I'm talking about making new crop soybean sales.
I think that you have to we are pretty oversold here, and I think we have a chance for a little bit of a rebound. You might use that as an opportunity to get some sales on, but at the level that we're at currently, I think that you probably just have to wait until the September report.
Chuck, where would you stand on that issue?
I think there's going to be plenty of storage space around, and unless a guy just absolutely sells them off a combine and hadn't sold any beans whatsoever, if he hadn't sold any, I'd sell a little bit, but otherwise I'd probably hold on.
And then are you looking to do anything else in the bean market at this point?
Some of our guys this week wanted to catch up and use some put options. They bought some $6 puts just in case to prop the floor up underneath them.
What's the long-term prospects, do you think, here for soybeans?
Well, I think the one thing that we're dealing with, too, we've been talking about this in the corn for several weeks, several months, really, is this old crop situation. We've got a lot of old crop beans, and the processors really don't need to come in. The buyers don't need to have any panic in their buying right now. So long term, I think that you're going to need to see what the Brazilian crop does down there. I'm one that's a believer that the Brazilian crop probably will not expand and will probably contract on acres, and I think that'll be positive to the market as we move into the planting in South America.
Are there any other outside sorts of things in the bean market, for instance, the strength of the Brazilian currency that we need to take a look at, or other prospects there that might work into this?
Well, there's a lot of issues out there for the market to wrestle with, but right at the moment, those issues don't really make any difference. I mean, what we're doing here is we're ending an old crop growing season. We're ending an old crop marketing year, and we're getting ready to start a new one. And we're seeing a lot of old crop movement. We've got a lot of old crop inventory out there. We're carrying over 300 million beans. We're carrying over 2 billion bushel corn. So what we're seeing is this old crop's got to find a home. Once this old crop finds a home, then the market will begin to, I think, stabilize and begin to kind of trace out a sideways to higher trend, and then a lot of those longer-term issues will begin to kind of take hold.
You went someplace, which was my next question for you, after I was thinking about it a bit. I know you told us that you were probably bearish on the beans, but I suspected that you were bearish maybe shorter term. And so do you think that there'll be a low in the market fairly soon?
I got some work that would indicate that we could get the job done here by the first part of September. But I want to emphasize, a low is one thing, and a rally is another thing.
All right. Anything else on the bean market before we let that go and we move on to the grains? Corn futures like this. September contract, 217.5 on the high, the low at 208.25. September corn, 210.25. They were off 7.5 cents from last week. December futures at $2.23.5, down 7.5 cents. I think still the biggest question in the minds of most people is just exactly how big is this corn crop? Will it fill? What does that mean? How much do they have in the field, and where really is it? And then later we'll talk a bit about maybe Iowa too. So what are you hearing from farmers across your geographic area? I know they were out earlier this week and did a survey in McLean County and showed, 151 bushel the acre across McLean, Tazewell, Peoria County, somewhere in that area?
Yeah, I think, and I've said this before, and I'm not trying to heads a question here, but it's just awfully spotty. I think that there's the possibility of coming up with that kind of number for McLean County. I think you could also go out and probably survey some fields and get a lot lower number. But, you know, that's down 30 bushel an acre from last year, and I guess I could buy into that number.
Well, that doesn't seem like it's down nearly far enough, given the griping that's been happening, and not only the griping, but just people talking about going out in the fields and not finding what they thought they were going to. You come up with only 30 bushel less. McLean County, for those who are not familiar with geography in Illinois, is the Bloomington area, and then in Peoria County, of course, is Peoria, Illinois.
McLean County is really pretty mixed. I mean, there's from south to north, there's a big difference, I believe, and just within the county itself. I know for a fact where my office is versus where I live, which is Bloomington versus Lexington, there is 2.5 to 3 inches difference in early July, just in rainfall there.
What are we hearing out of Iowa at this point?
We have a client in Tifton, Iowa, and he's somewhat disappointed. It's pretty dry on that side of Iowa. He went out and found some poor pollination. Again, I think the key in the long run, Todd, would be the kernel depth. I mean, last year that kernel depth really adds bushels. A lot of test weight is going to be lower. Right now we're measuring the number of length of ears, number around, and you just don't get an accurate representation of the weight of that ear at this point.
USDA, when they came out with a report last week, said 125 bushels to the acre for the state of Illinois. And we talked last week with Joe Persaki a bit about that. That's a five-year rolling average on the weight, which was what they used. So they were putting in last year's heavy weights into that rolling average. Is it possible? I guess the question is really, where is Illinois going to come in? Is USDA right at 125? Last week we thought maybe across the board that 115 or 105 might be closer. This week it sounds like 125 might be not so bad.
Oh, I don't know. I think guessing at this point is guessing. I mean, if you look at USDA's estimates a year ago, they basically missed the corn crop by 1 billion bushels in August. So, I mean, what's to say that they can't miss it by 500 either side of 10-3? So, I think the August estimates are just an estimate. I, for one, would even question whether we need an August estimate. I think we need to probably be further down the road to really give us an estimate. I think USDA probably ought to give us more of a range in August than a specific number.
All right. We'll go ahead.
One thing I think that we can maybe put a little bit of a finger on, and that's on the acreage side of it. It looks to me like that the acreage is not certain, but needs to probably come down on the September report just for several regions. Increased silage, abandoned acres, acres that never got planted in South Dakota and some of those areas. So I guess I think that's one thing that's maybe more certain than whether the yield is there or not.
As Dan mentioned, a 10-3 crop from USDA last time around. You take the acreage out, where do you land?
I think you're going to be down in that 10.1.
Closer to 10.
I think it's a little early to tell. Now, I think acreage is going to come down, but I don't necessarily think USDA is going to tinker with it anytime too soon. They may tinker with it, but they may have to wait to the January report before we know for sure. Go through a stocks report. I wouldn't get excited about an acreage change coming anytime soon. That doesn't mean one won't come. But a lot of times when they start adjusting harvested acreages, a lot of that times waits till they get into that January crop report because they don't necessarily know whether or not that acreage is going to be harvested or not. They can kind of take a guess, and a lot of times they wait until they get a little better number on production before they somewhat do that. But I suspect we're kind of we think that there's room for the national average yield to slip downward as low as 135. But we're kind of in the 135, 140 range, and I think USDA is at the top end of that range right now. And if one would assume that the average ear weight this year is going to be below average, then there's room for that corn crop to kind of come down a couple, 3 bushels per acre.
Friday in Champaign County, there was a 14-cent LDP. Will farmers be able to take advantage of an LDP, do you think? And they're going to be thinking about this one, I imagine, because it's just cash in their back pocket at the time of harvest, and they'll be looking for that. Will it be available?
I think it's hard to say it won't be available if it's, you know, it's there now on the cash corn. I can't see any big surprises out here as you move into harvest, at least initially. I think there's a good possibility there'll be an LDP at harvest time.
And last year that LDP widened out, I think, as far as 38 cents in this state, and it seemed to me most people pulled the trigger around 34. USDA tends to find a way for that LDP to increase. I guess the question really is, can that happen this year? Is there too much corn still around for them to widen it out and pick an LDP up? Dan, you're sort of shaking your head out.
Well, I think there could be an LDP available for the early harvest of stuff, but I'm not too sure by the time we get full-fledged harvest in the Eastern Corn Belt, there will be much of an LDP. Now, I ain't necessarily saying that it's going to be, last year was a little different. Last year we were harvesting a record crop, and the harvest really never ended. This year, we've got a 10-10 to 10-3 that's adequate given the ending stocks level. But a lot of times once all this old crop finds a home, and that's kind of what we're going through right now, is this old the carryover inventory is coming out into market channels. And once it finds a home, then farmers are going to be generally tight holders of new inventory. And that basis level could snap in fairly quickly, and then your LDP opportunities kind of disappear as we go down the road.
Chuck, just quickly, on wheat, this week there was some concern that there might be frost damage in part of the spring wheat areas. What have you heard? By the way, high this week, September's at 328 for the wheat at the Board of Trade, low at 310, settlement at 325 and a quarter. They were up 4 cents for the week. December wheat at 339 and a quarter, up 3.5.
Certainly with some damage out there. The other issue is the vomit toxin in the western states. And maybe, wheat's found a level down there that buyers came in and it was getting undervalued, and those two factors help prop it up.
And one other note on the corn market, and I heard this one on Agronomy Day, and I don't know that anybody can talk to this or speak to it just yet. Aflatoxin beginning to be talked about just a bit across the Midwest, and that there will be some things that have to be done in order to collect insurance if aflatoxin is available. And we'll get back hold of some folks down in southern Illinois and see how they have to deal with it. But you can't take it into the, from my understanding, you can't take it into the elevator and then get an aflatoxin and get the insurance off it. You have to have something in the field to get that to happen. I'll guarantee that we'll get to that next week and see what we'll can come up with so people know how to handle their insurance on that one. Very quickly now, Mercantile Exchange live cattle this week, August contract a high of 80.70, a low at 78.55. August live cattle settled 80.47.5. They were up 140 for the week, and the feeders at 110.60 in the August were up $1.30. Lean hogs October contract 63.02.5. For the high, the low at $59, and the October, that's the new lead option at 62.15, down $8.75 from last week. Quite a drop in the hog market. What happened there for the week?
We just had a technical sell off there, and we're starting to see it come back around here with the cash, but they beat it up pretty good, went down around the 50-day moving average, and started a pretty good recovery, though, in the last few days, Todd.
And then, Bill, Friday afternoon cattle on feed market report from USDA was released. Placements for July at 98. They were expecting 101.4 on the average. What will that mean to the open on Monday morning?
I think it should push the futures up some. I think the cash market didn't really get a lot traded here Thursday and Friday. It didn't look like out west, and I think we could see the cash market come in maybe a dollar and a half higher by the middle of next week as well.
When we return, we'll talk with Jackie Vakes of Stewart Peterson Group.
I'm Steve Hilberg with the Midwestern Regional Climate Center, located at the Illinois State Water Survey in Champaign. This week brought some changes to the drought-stricken areas of Illinois and adjacent portions of Iowa and Missouri. Most of Illinois received some rain this week, with the most significant rainfall in the southeastern half of the state. There, rainfall was more than twice normal for the week, and the most significant rain in the very far south. 1 to 3 inches of rain fell across the southeastern third of the state, with some amounts approaching 5 inches in far southern Illinois. In the central third of Illinois, 1/2 to 1 inch of rain fell, and northwest of that, the week was generally dry until Thursday. Then on Thursday, more showers and thunderstorms moved through northern Illinois ahead of a warm front pushing northward through the state. This week's U.S. drought monitor showed only a slight reduction in the area of extreme drought in Illinois, generally on the southeast side of the drought area. Temperatures this week ran from 2 to 4 degrees below normal as most of Illinois remained in slightly cooler air that trickled in behind the weak cold front over the Ohio Valley. A strong cold front moving through Illinois early this weekend will likely set off more showers and thunderstorms. Once it passes, cooler, drier conditions will spread over the state. Next week looks to be dominated by high pressure with temperatures slightly below to near normal. After this weekend, it looks like our next chance for rain will be next weekend as another strong cold front approaches Illinois. For the Midwestern Regional Climate Center in Champaign, I'm Steve Hilberg.
And I'm Todd Gleason. This is Commodity Week. Our panelists today are Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities in Lafayette, Indiana, Dan Zwicker of AgriVisor Services in Normal, Illinois, and Bill Mayer of Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois. Joining us today from Stuart Peterson Group in West Bend, Wisconsin, is Senior Market Advisor Jackie Vanks. Our guest writes articles for Successful Farming in Stuart Peterson's website, as well as the Outlook page in the Top Producer magazine. Thanks for joining us today, Jackie.
Thank you.
Tell me, how's basis been changing?
Well, when we look at Wisconsin, we don't see an awful lot of change because we were actually corn deficit last year, at least on the eastern portion where we're located. But we've been hearing the biggest changes coming in Minnesota and Iowa, of course, as farmers started cleaning out bins. The extreme, and that was just the beginning of this week, was nearby corn $1.37 cash. And so you were looking at, you know, 70 and in some places as high as 80-cent basis. That wasn't the biggest challenge, though, that we're seeing. What we're seeing is that you're hearing ethanol plants in Minnesota and Iowa booked out for corn all the way to March. We're hearing things in western Minnesota, elevators saying to farmers, if you want to place an order with us to sell grain, we're charging you 2 cents a bushel whether it fills or not. And the biggest issue, I think, probably is just no trains right now. Not good planning.
I was doing some looking at that as well there on the bases in Iowa, and if you take it out and versus the bases versus the July futures, it even gets more amazing. But, you know, I came up with about a 60-cent gain if an elevator take that corn, hedge it in the July futures and hold on to it for a not a normal base, but even just a bases that could be expected next June. Won't that corn find a place at those kind of numbers?
Oh, I'm sure it's going to. And what we've been seeing, too, in Iowa and Minnesota is just a tremendous amount of elevator building of storage. You know, so they're out there taking in all the grain they can possibly find. So it's already finding a place. I'm not sure if you know where Eddyville, Iowa, is. South I-80, more toward the central, a little west. For the longest time, one of the large Cargill elevators down there was just lines and lines is what my clients were telling me. Now, this past week, they're calling in contracts that were supposed to be brought in 3 weeks from now.
Can you tell us, Jackie, what the crop is like? What's your Wisconsin and Minnesota and Iowa crop like up there?
Well, the Wisconsin crop here to central Wisconsin, I'm talking about on the eastern central, is pretty poor and pretty heavily damaged. When you get over to the western side, some phenomenal crops. I mean, just absolutely, they hit the rains. They had the temperatures, but they hit the rains. When you talk about Minnesota and Iowa, northern Iowa did a lot of replanting early on. They've got a good crop. Most of the agronomists are saying probably not the crop that they had last year, but still a very good crop. Same thing in beans. Corn and beans look great. Now you start to go south in Iowa, and you get into southeastern Iowa, even south-central Iowa, they've got a lot of problems. There's been a lot of damage to beans. There's been one of my clients is down in the south-central area on that $4,000 and $5,000 acre land that really produces, and they're judging right now bean production maybe 25 bushel to the acre, and he's already been trying to buy his contracts back on corn. So we're not hearing much about that right now. I think actually, Iowa is the key to this crop this year.
Tell me a little bit about fill and weight. And I guess I'm wondering, here in the state of Illinois, they're worried about fill, they're worried about weight, mm-hmm. and that it's going to be awfully light. You said there are some areas that you've talked about that where fill is going to be good. Are weights going to be heavy like they were last year, test weights in those areas?
Well, what I'm hearing from most people, and, you know, it's always hard for anybody to judge unless you really run it across the combine, but I sold corn and did agronomy for 16 years, and I can tell you that when you have an extreme heat, you have a lot of problems during the fill time, and we did have a lot of extreme heat. As far as hearing from guys, one of my guys from Nebraska's outstanding crop, you know, it's all irrigated, was very disappointed. He went out, took cobs, nice big, full cobs, fully dented already, quarter-inch kernel depth. And he said the further he went into his field, he couldn't even stand to go any further in. So I think there's going to be a lot of problems. I talked to a number of my Illinois guys who said the lower half of the cob before they sprayed for beetles is full of big, shallow-depth kernels, and the top half looks pretty good. So.
Stuart Peterson has his cash strategy for both corn and soybeans. Where are you on sales?
On new crop sales, I'm 50% sold, basically, on beans, and about 40% sold on corn. But I shouldn't say that's in cash. The rest is covered either in options or futures.
So what's your estimation? Sounds like you're thinking USDA is way too high from the perception here would be the western states or the saving states for this corn crop.
Well, I think they're being pretty generous. I don't think they're doing anything, and especially I heard you talking about the August report. You know, when you look at the reliability of the August report, 90% confidence level at 10.8%. If you put that to the numbers that they gave us at 10.3, that means the crop could be anywhere from 9.18 to 11.4. They're as unsure about the crop as everybody is.
We appreciate you being with us today, Jackie.
Mm-hmm.
Jackie Bakes is with the Stuart Peterson Group, joined us from West Bend, Wisconsin. Now, a final word from our panelists. Bill Mayer.
Well, I've been saying the last few times I've been on the show that I think this corn market, until we can get low enough to stop the sales of the old crop, it's going to keep going lower. I think we're getting close because of some of the numbers we were just talking about there in the West.
Bill Mayer is with Roach Ag Marketing out of Lexington, Illinois, and Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana.
If we're down here, let's hope and concentrate on getting an LDP, and we think there'll be opportunities to hold on to this crop and make some gains.
And Dan Zwicker is with AgriVisor Services out of Bloomington, Illinois.
Well, I think the fact that you have this deep at basis levels tells you that this is, you know, a reaction of the marketing loan as farmers are dumping or funneling their inventory into the marketplace, and once that finds a home, that's going to quickly snap back.
And that wraps up this week's edition of Commodity Week. Something to keep in mind, you can access Commodity Week right there on your computer on demand. Our website is will.uiuc.edu. Just click on AM and then Agriculture. I'm Todd Gleason.
Commodity Week is made possible with support from AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists, on the web at a6395.com and at agrigold.com. And with support from ADM, working with the American farmer, creating products from his crops, creating markets for crops. ADM, resourceful by nature. Commodity Week is a production of listener-supported public radio at the University of Illinois. To learn more, visit us online at will.uiuc.edu.